Path of Life is the name of a new exhibition by the Jewish Museum in Prague, marking 400 years since the death of Rabbi Judah Lev ben Bezalel, a 16th century scholar and teacher and the chief rabbi of Bohemia. Today, most Czechs remember him not only for being a wise man and a learned scholar, but primarily for being the legendary creator of the golem, a mythical deed that earned him the status of a national hero. The exhibition on Rabbi Lev, also known as the Maharal, on at Prague Castle, focuses on his life and work, but it could not avoid the legends he is most remembered for. Dinah Spritzer is the Prague-based European correspondent of the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. She explains how the name of Rabbi Lev, most Czechs, became a household name.
I think the Czechs that I've spoken to know him mostly for two things. One, being in the movie, translated many ways, but the 1951 Czech film, The Emperor's Baker and The Baker's Emperor, in which actually he's not present except for his picture. But that is an adaptation of the Gollum story. And the second way that Czechs are aware of the rabbi is, of course, how he is depicted by the Czech National Revival writers, Svatek and Jarášek. And those are the Bohemian legends, which depict the wonder works of Rabbi Lev, that are still read today by every Czech school child. He is, one could say, a Czech national hero. He is probably one of, that I know of, the only rabbi, and perhaps the only Jew, who is a national hero, and part of the identity stories that come from one minority and help another minority develop its emerging identity. That's incredible.
When it comes to legends, Rabbi Lev stands out among all the mythical and real Czech princes and kings, folk heroes and other characters that appear in the collection of Czech National Legends by Alois Jirásek. First published in 1894, the book offers several stories related to Rabbi's life and deeds, including one that is based on a real event. And it's precisely this event, which, as Dinah Spritzer believes, was behind other legends that appeared later.
The rabbi met with Rudolf, the Holy Roman Emperor Rudolf II. And I believe that it is that meeting, so incredibly rare in the 17th century, for a rabbi to be invited by an emperor in Europe, a king in Europe, for an audience, that transformed his image. And that is the key.
In the legend, it was the emperor who visited the rabbi in his home inside the Prague Jewish ghetto. But Arno Patík says there are, in fact, historical records of the meeting.
This is the point when history and legends go together, because we have the message about visit of Rabbi Lev by Rudolf II at the castle. We know from the local chronicle by David Gans, which was Jewish historian and pupil of Rabbi Lev. So everything what he wrote was right. So in 16 February 1592, Maharal was invited by Rudolf II to the castle.
Do we know how long the conversation lasted and which language they talked in?
Interesting. Rabbi Lev knows German, of course, or Yiddish and German, and they communicate most probably in German. And how long? So there are other. In legend, it looks a little bit different. So somebody described that they started to talk and the emperor was behind the curtain. But after then he came out and talked with Rabbi Lev face to face. How long? It's not clear.
historical figure of Rabbi Lev is perhaps less mysterious, but not necessarily less interesting. Mr. Patik explains that his strict attitude on life in the Jewish community sometimes caused tensions.
Rabbi Lev was an excellent scholar. It is sure, and everybody recognized it, even in his time. But because he was also a very ethically strict man, he had also problems in his life, all his life, with the rich people in the community. Before Prague, he was 20-year chief rabbi of Moravia in Mikulov, but we don't know so much about his acting. But even in Mikulov, his position was difficult.
The reason why the Jewish community in the South Moravian town of Mikulov did not particularly appreciate the strict views of Rabbi Lev had to do with the famous local wine. Local Jewish people made and sold wine and also drank it, although much of it was not prepared according to the rules and therefore was not kosher. But Dinah Spritzer says that there was a very good reason why Rabbi Lev wanted to play by the rules.
The Jews were very, very much discriminated against and treated as an alien and sometimes evil body by the Habsburg rulers. Because of that, the Jews had to adopt different ways of dealing with that situation. So knowing that, the rabbi had to be very careful. With that in mind, he also did have ideas that the Jewish race was distinct. And one of his more well-known writings when he was the head rabbi of Moravia was that he was really ticked off that Moravian Jews were drinking non-kosher wine and that they were drinking with Christians, something he was afraid would lead to assimilation.
In the world of Jewish scholarship, Rabbi Lev is remembered for his teachings on a variety of subjects, from education to Zionism.
Rabbi Lev wrote mostly about the importance of the Torah, and his work in that field is very much admired. He actually wanted to reform the way Talmud was taught, and during his time, his reforms did not work, but eventually they succeeded. Perhaps one of his biggest influences is for religious Zionists, and they believe that because he wrote very much about Jews being a distinct race and also that it not be a natural state, that Jews living outside of Israel, he very much inspired that movement.
Today, Prague has the Maharal Institute, a center for rabbinical students to study Rabbi Lev's works. But it's literally impossible to avoid the golem, whose pictures and figurines are sold all over the Jewish town. The Path of Life exhibition also shows the most significant interpretations of the golem legend, illustrations of the famous novel The Golem by Gustav Meyrink, which was first published in Germany in 1915, several films including the 1951 The Emperor's Baker and The Baker's Emperor, and sculptures and other works of art. In fact, one of the posters of the exhibition uses a 1951 painting of the rabbi standing next to the golem, which was used as a prop in the famous Czech film. Using a picture of the rabbi with the golem he was said to have created is, as Dinah Spritzer says, a clever way of getting people to come and see the exhibit.
It's a paradox, because this is what the Maharal is best known for, and so they are clearly using that image to lure people in. And then we say in America, bait and switch. So they think they're going to see an exhibition about the golem, but really it's about the life of the Maharal.